Welcome to Word and Sacrament, the sermon podcast of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Joplin, Missouri. I'm Jason Glaske, Director of Christian Education. Each week, you'll hear Pastor Christopher Ramstead preach from the Word of God, grounded in Scripture, centered on Christ, and shaped by the Lutheran confessional tradition.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dear friends, this last week, I've been thinking a lot about memorable stories, and I've got to be honest, it probably started when I started hearing all of these musical numbers that were echoing through my house. The musical this last week, it was full of all kinds of characters that told their story. Out of the Woods was the title of it. It's one of my favorite spin-offs of a musical I love, Into the Woods. But we got to meet people like Little Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf. And we got to see Cinderella, and Sleeping Beauty was there. And all kinds of different stories that all came together. But all of them had a problem. Some of them had things that just weren't going right in life, and what we heard from our kids was the truth of the gospel. God comes, and he makes our path straight in Jesus Christ. But you know, it wasn't just the musical. It wasn't the beautiful dancing and the acting. There was more than that. In fact, I think back to Wednesday night with our high schoolers. I got to spend time with our high schoolers in Bible study, and as we were gathering together, just kind of chatting and shooting the breeze, I asked them a question. I said, what's one book in your life? One book, and it can't be the Bible, that changed your life. And they started tossing things out there, and they said, well, Pastor, you know, there's this book called Hatchet. I hadn't thought about that book in years. It's a great one. Hunger Games, of course, right? To Kill a Mockingbird. I think that has Mrs. Glaske behind it on that one. But I wonder from you guys this morning, when we think about stories that truly matter to us, and it can't be the Bible, what would you say? Anyone have a story that's changed their life?
I think Hiding Place.
Hiding Place. Very good. That's excellent. Anyone else? Yeah. Telltale Heart.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. There we go. Yeah, Tolkien fan. Someone said green eggs and ham in first service. I thought that was brilliant. That was really good. But what does it take to have that memorable story, right? How do you get to that point? Because it's got to have the right ingredients to make it all happen. And the first thing that a story has to have, a solid opening, right? It has to have a great opening that catches your attention, that gets you hooked in. Once upon a time, right? It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. Or if you've read the really, really thick one, Call Me Ishmael. That's a long one. Or maybe this one will be familiar. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This morning, I want to talk to you about the book of Acts. It's sort of a sequel, if you will, of sorts. It was written by Luke, who was a doctor. It's the second part of his gospel. It makes classifying this book a little bit of a challenge. Some people call it a historical book. After all, it gives us the history of the early Christian church. Others look at the book of Acts and they say, well, that's another gospel. That's the fifth gospel. Either way, Luke writes both parts here to a man named Theophilus. And his name means loved by God or friend of God. Acts was written second, the second part of a two-work piece. It followed the gospel where Luke recorded all of those things that Jesus did. He was born. He was raised. He starts his ministry. He's baptized. He heals. He dies. He rises again. And it ends with the ascension of our Lord. In fact, Luke only does four verses that deal with the ascension of our Lord in his gospel account, but there was more yet to tell. That's the reason he writes the second account, the book of Acts, sometimes called the Acts of the Apostles, or better called Acts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, here in this Easter season, we've gotten to hear a lot from the book of Acts. Our Old Testament reading, it's replaced with a reading from Acts, and sometimes they're a little out of order, aren't they? We're going backwards today as we get back to chapter 1 here on Ascension Day, or we should say Ascension of our Lord observed. Actually, Ascension Day was Thursday this past week, 40 days after Easter. So if you didn't celebrate on Thursday, you missed it. But the church either observes it the Sunday before or after, as we do today. Luke was there. Luke got to be there in the midst of all of these things that he writes down in the book of Acts. He was a traveling companion, right there beside Peter and Paul and Silas and Barnabas and John Mark. He got to see what Jesus commanded them to do happen in real time, the gospel spreading to the four corners of the earth. So how do you start this book? It's got to have something catchy to open up. Oh, the Holy Spirit helped him out, didn't he? In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up. Luke does something really surprising. He bookends both the end of his gospel account and here the start of the book of Acts with the ascension of all things, that our Lord was taken up. And notice that the way that this book functions here, Jesus was taken up. It's passive. It's the Father's doing. Right off the bat, Luke points out this is the Heavenly Father's work. In fact, we hear in the gospel, the Father was pleased with the work of the Son, pleased to send his Son to the cross to die for the salvation of the whole world, for your salvation, pleased to raise him to life on the third day. And here Luke points straight to the Father. He raises him up on Ascension Day. It's got a great opening. Catches your attention right off the bat. But what else does every good story have? It's got to have the meat and potatoes up the middle, right? It's got to have that plot. There's got to be a reason for the reader to get invested in the story. And I think we turn to the disciples to hear what they have to say here. It's a great quote. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Right? That's what they think the plot is going to be. Lord, at this time, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? We tease the apostles just a little bit about this question, but put yourself in their shoes. What have they seen? All kinds of things. Jesus calms wind and wave with the sound of his voice. Jesus walks on water. Jesus can heal the blind and the mute and the lame. He can raise the dead back to life. He can die and rise again. He can appear through locked rooms. What will Jesus do next? That's their question. In fact, maybe Theophilus, as he's reading this, also wonders, what will Jesus do next? It's as if the disciples are asking Jesus, you know, Jesus, that water to wine thing, that was pretty good, but let's talk about the kingdom now, right? Let's take back the kingdom. You will be the King of Kings riding in your resurrected glory, and we will be your 12, well, cross that, 11 generals. We'll work that out later. What does Jesus say? He says, it's not for you to know the times or the season that the Father has fixed by his own authority. The disciples have questions. Where are we going with this, Jesus? As hearers of the word today, I think we have a few questions too. Jesus, where are we going here? Because it seems like a pretty poor plot device to remove the chief protagonist within the first chapter, right? And that's what happens. Jesus is standing there, all the disciples are looking on at him, and what happens? He's raised up into the heaven and hidden by the clouds. How did the disciples feel? Doesn't really say. Shocked, surprised, amazed. Part of us kind of wonders if they were standing there waiting to clap as Jesus comes back. I think they're shocked. They're looking into the sky. They need that little kickstart from two angels that come to get their attention and remind them of Jesus' instructions. You will be my witnesses, Jesus says. Witnesses. The Greek word is martus. It's where we hear the English word martyrs, witnesses that come with a high cost. In fact, according to the tradition, we look at those apostles that are standing there, and 10 out of the 11 that are standing looking up into heaven will be martyred for their faith, for the name of Jesus. Luke himself would be for us a witness, a martus of the gospel of Jesus. According to tradition and legend, he lived to 84 years old and died somewhere around Greece. Luke got to see this plot, this meat and potatoes of the story lived out in real time as he traveled with Peter and Paul and others. He got to see this spread of the gospel and the power of the name of Jesus. And that's what Jesus talks about, isn't it? You will receive power, he tells them. My favorite Greek word, dunamis. We think dynamite, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Luke got to see that power. He got to see it in the spread of the gospel. We had a great opening. We had a plot, the meat and potatoes in the middle. What else does a really good story need? It needs an ending. We start to wonder, is it going to stick the landing? Every story's got to have a good ending. We tend to criticize those books that don't have a good ending. In fact, it can kind of tarnish our opinion of the whole book if it doesn't have a solid ending. How does Luke end the book of Acts? It's with the Apostle Paul in Rome. It says, Paul was proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And then it ends. That's it. That is the ending of the book of Acts. And we start to wonder as readers, as maybe Theophilus said, what happens to Paul? What happens to the church? How did we get to today? What comes next? In fact, maybe that's the surprising thing about today. We come with some of these similar questions. Jesus, where are we going today? Jesus, what is your church doing in 2026? Or maybe you come into church today with a pretty honest but simple question. Why should I care about Ascension Day? That's fair. After all, we celebrate Christmas morning with great fanfare. We celebrate with so many alleluias and great hymns on Easter Sunday. And then it kind of comes to Ascension Day and we almost forget all about it. Chances are most of us let Thursday just slide by without even noticing it. But here's the thing, dear friends, we should care. We should care. This is the story of our Lord, and it's your story too. Let me show you what I mean. How does your story in Christ begin? What is that solid opening line for your Christian walk in faith? Well, it was the same for all of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, you may not be named Theophilus, and thank God for that, but you are a loved one. You are a friend of the Savior. You were baptized, just as Jesus calls his disciples to do in Matthew 28 before his ascension. You were called by the gospel through the power of the Holy Spirit. That power was put in you from on high in your baptism. What is the plot of your story in the name of Jesus Christ? You've been called to be witnesses. Martus, each and every day of your whole life, we are to tell of the one who gave up his life for you. Share the gospel. Share the gospel each and every place that you go. And just think about that. Work and school and parents, watch out. Summer break is coming. Family vacations, family reunions, or just in those precious moments that we share in our home each day. I think sometimes when we hear about the dunamis, the power of the Spirit, we think these grand things in the Spirit, but that's not really how the Apostle Paul takes this. Think about how he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You know, dear friends, we don't think of these things as explosive dynamite-type things, but to those around us, they make a big and profound impact in their life. Live each day in the Spirit. That's what we're called to do in the meat and potatoes of the story that Jesus has placed you in. Live in the Spirit, pointing to the one who has died and risen for you. And dear friends, that plot may look a little different for each and every one of us. And that plot may change over time too, because we change. Sometimes our abilities change, our capabilities change, our talents may change. We've talked a lot about vocation over the last couple weeks. Sometimes our vocations change. We may add some new vocations. Some of them may end or go away. Sometimes what we're called to do changes. Our physical location may change. Sometimes, as we celebrated in early service today, our congregational dynamic changes. We celebrated with Donna and Phil Whittle, who sit right there in the third pew in early service, but are moving away. Sometimes our congregation changes. Sometimes our pastor changes. Some of you have seen many, many pastors stand right up here in this pulpit. We're surrounded by a whole world of change, but there's one thing that never changes. And it's what the prophet Isaiah leads us to in chapter 40. He says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." God's word never changes. His promise never changes. You have a God who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Jesus promises you he is with you always. He's never going to leave you. He is never going to forsake you. That's not who our God is. In fact, this morning we get to hear his promises again as he promises he is very present in this meal. It's not just bread and wine. It is his body given for you. It is his blood that is shed for you. That's what we get to celebrate today. The meat and the potatoes of the Christian life and the plot that Jesus has given to us. A solid opening, a solid plot in the middle of our story, living in the Spirit. But what about the end of your story? What does the end of our Christian walk look like? Let's take it back to Acts chapter 1. What do the angels say to the disciples? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. Dear friends, Jesus is coming back. That's his promise to you and to me. We've been hearing this from our Lord himself in the Gospel of John over the last couple weeks. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again to take you where I am. Jesus today in his ascended glory stands as our high priest before the Heavenly Father. Sometimes we use the word intercessor before the Father. Your story in Christ ends in eternity. Think about that for a second. Your story in Christ ends in eternity. Eternal life in the name of your Savior. That one day we hear at the sound of the trumpet, the clouds will open, and Christ will descend in power and glory. And his word tells us that every eye, not just a few, every eye will see him. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can we say this morning, Jesus has a way of sticking the landing? I think so. This is his story. But dear friends, it's our story as well. Story that's sealed from beginning to plot to end, all in the name and in the blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior, for he is coming again. Since it's the last Sunday of the Easter season, we only get one final shot at this. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Risen for you, ascended for you, and he's coming back for you one day. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we can all say, amen.
That was Pastor Christopher Ramstead preaching at Emmanuel Lutheran Church. We're a congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, serving Joplin since 1897. Find us at emmanueljoplin.com or join us Sunday mornings if you're in the area. God's peace to you.